We are living in a rapidly changing world. Changes outside of us, changes that we see on the news, that we hear about, and then the changes in our own personal lives, whether it's a loss of a loved one, the changing of a season, a birthday, a new year. Changing times, times to shift perspectives. How do we do that well? What support is there for these shifts and changes in our life journey? Today, I am so pleased to have in the studio Caitlin Stecker. Caitlin is a certified IFS counselor, trainer, therapist. She has many credentials. I won't list all of them here. A very talented and wise woman who lives here and has a private practice in our community of Astoria. Good morning, Caitlin.
Good morning, Donna.
I'm so grateful to have you in the studio today.
It's always great to be able to be with you and create something.
Yes, we have no idea where this conversation will take us.
Nope.
We're talking about the idea of inspiration and support during these changing times. But before we begin that conversation, could you please let the listening audience know a little bit about yourself?
Well, I think the thing that's with me today is the word bridge. I've been thinking about it the last couple of days. It's something that years ago, a couple of friends said, well, you're just like a bridge, you know, between different worlds. And I'm feeling that more and more always in my life, that I certainly have my own experience in our everyday world and the kind of things that you have to do to survive and live and all. And I also feel a deep sense of connection and yearning for what's greater than us. And also the life of the soul, which now is being crowded out in so many ways by the things we have to do every day to get our cars oil changed and our teeth fixed and all of the activities that take us away from that kind of soul time. And so more and more, I'm really feeling I want to dedicate my own life, because I don't want to miss soul time in my own life, and also to share that with others and be able to create places and experiences where people can come together and really be heard and understood and create, again, the sense of tribal community that we actually, for so many million more times than now, lived with each other in that kind of relationship.
And in tribal cultures, you had support for all the different shifts in life.
Absolutely.
And now today, I think a lot of people feel very disconnected, not only from other people, from the world, from themselves.
Yes. And, you know, there's a new study that's out that's, well, it's not a new study at all. It's the longest old study of human development. It's 75 years that they've been following the same people that started in 1930, whatever that is, at Harvard. And they are looking at what makes a good life. And in fact, if you're interested in this, there's a TED Talk with that title, What Makes a Good Life, where this researcher, he's the fourth head of this research, shares the ways in which they're seeing that loneliness, disconnection, is one of the greatest hindrances to people feeling a sense of satisfaction, actually being healthy, and having the sense that they have lived the life they were meant to live. And so, again, that's one of the things I'm really committing myself to, is trying to do everything to support people in creating community, experiencing community, recognizing that even if it's just inviting a couple friends over to have a chance to share about whatever, that can be a way that we help ourselves get healthier. Well, I don't even want to say it that way. Let's say, just to be in connection with life.
Yes, because I think we've become so focused on getting things done.
Yeah.
And you talked about that earlier, about this idea that there's always this progress. You know, we have to be busy and do these things.
What are you doing?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And there are many wonderful, inspiring teachers. There's poetry. There are daily rituals. Because everyone deals with changing circumstances in life, absolutely. Whether it is the loss of a loved one and grief. And yes. grief is something we don't allow and we don't honor as, and that's a very powerful process.
It's so important. I just spent a week with Frances Weller, who wrote this absolutely extraordinary book called The Wild Edge of Sorrow. And I was going to say, I'm going to leave something so that if people want to call in for some of the references, if they don't catch them
great.
when we say that they could do that, or they can also call me.
Certainly.
And maybe we'll do phone number, email at the end.
Sure.
But he is someone who's dedicated himself to creating grief rituals around the country, around the world, really. But as he says, the amazing experience of having to actually create a workshop so people can grieve. But that's what our society, what our culture now has come to, is grief is something that we have so pushed out of our everyday and life experience that we're really having to intentionally create opportunities for people to grieve together. And we're actually hardwired in our brains to process grief communally. Certainly there are experiences of grief that are individual, but actually the processing and the real healing, the being able to turn that pain into beauty comes through the communal experience. And it's very difficult for us to create that by ourselves, but that's really, I believe, where we're being called now. And with that is also the idea of living with grief in one hand and gratitude in the other, and being able to cultivate opportunities in our life to experience both of those ways that really stretch us open and make us bigger.
There is so much loss every day in the world. I mean, and it's not just, I mean, yes, obviously, if we lose a family or someone close to us. However, every day there is grief and loss, loss of an idea, loss of what we thought the world was, and now suddenly the world has taken a different trajectory. And how do we work with that when everything seems is shifting? Where do we find that ground? What anchors us?
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's a huge question, isn't it, for each person? Because on some level, I really do see it as each of us has our piece of life to heal. And it's our own specific experience that we are the only ones that can heal it. We're the only ones that can reconnect that life back to life, because actually that is the effect of trauma, of experiences of overwhelm, is that they disconnect us from the fabric, the sense of being part of life and community. And part of the real pain and despair of trauma and experiences of wounding is this disconnection. And so the healing is really essential to bringing us back into relationship, whatever ways that are. And mostly, very honestly, again, we have to really search or create those in our life now. We have to find ways that work for us to feel that connection again. And sometimes that means doing things that are very uncomfortable, that feel counterintuitive to what we're experiencing.
That make us feel vulnerable.
Absolutely, yeah.
What about those spending time? I just think the healing power of nature. We are nature, and we're around so many man-made things that spending time in nature, that is connecting us to our really, that is the ground.
Yes, it is. Absolutely. Because again, you know, only in this little blip of the last whatever thousands of years have, or not even that, whatever, that we've been inside these buildings, well, not thousands of years, I guess, but anyway, I'm just imagining the buildings thousands of years ago. But that sense of being able to make ourselves actually able to be in nature every day is an incredible act, almost of revolution, to say, I'm not going to stay inside and I'm not going to look outside the window, but not go and touch the tree and be with the experience of lying on the ground, that there is those experiences that only we can give ourselves. And it is kind of breaking out of our society's idea about what we're supposed to be doing. And very rarely do, you know, you hear somebody say, well, you should be out in nature for an hour every day. Kind of, well, maybe some people say that, but the idea that that is really essential to our soul, to our sense of connection with life. Our bodies are animal bodies, and they're, that's that line, you know, as I was saying this morning, I'd rather be whole than good. And then I was thinking about the poem of Mary Oliver's The Wild Geese. It starts out, you do not have to be good. You do not have to walk on your knees for 100 miles through the desert repenting. You only have to let the soft animal of your body love what it loves.
Yes. Yes. So ways for us to deal with all of these changes and all of this loss that's happening in our world today, where everything seems to be speeding up, spend time in the natural world. Spend
Absolutely.
Time quietly listening to the birds singing.
Yeah.
You know, hold
Slow
the tree.
Slow down to soul time.
Slow down to soul time.
Yeah. It's so different, though. It actually can feel painful. And I just have to say, it can feel painful initially to slow down. It can feel painful to connect with ourselves in our bodies because it's so neglected. And we have to be able to tolerate that discomfort. We have to be able to recognize that there are actually parts of us that want to keep us in the familiar, which often isn't healthy, but it becomes the pattern. It has a life of its own in that way. And to be able to come out of that and expand beyond that really takes, again, being able to tolerate the distress and the discomfort.
Recognize, yes.
Yeah, and that doesn't mean that it's wrong or you're doing something that isn't working. In fact, often that tells you are actually breaking out of the familiar and the known and where you've been and into some new life. But initially, it's going to feel at times actually challenging and frightening to parts of us.
Yes, and the poet that I know you and I both have so much respect for, the Irish-British
yes.
poet David White,
yes.
W-H-Y-T-E, if you
yes.
want to look him up.
Yes.
He has a new poem, which I heard recently. It's not out on his website yet, but it's about the bell and the blackbird, the bell
yeah.
calling us within, calling us into the depths of ourselves. The bird, the blackbird, singing in the outside world, calling us to the outside
yes.
world, to participate in the outside world. And then living between those two worlds, you know, the external yeah. world, the inner world, that challenge of where are we spending our time.
Well, you know, that's part of, again, something that we've lost is the experience of relationship with what's outside of us as also soul, that what is happening around us and in the relationships we have with others and with our life and with the experiences and whatever it is that we're relating to also is soul life. Again, we're hardwired for that. We lived in relationship in the morning to the sun and you know, as you say, the birds. I mean, that when we lived in relationship to nature as a full experience, then there was very little sense of inside or outside. It was all of us. And we have, of course, developed the sense of inside, and we have really become, you know, quite entranced by it. But I think in some ways we've lost that sense of connection to the greater outside, that real way in which we can see the events even of our life as part of our soul path.
Well, and I know I just finished listening to a CD with a variety of amazing teachers on the planet right now. And this idea of, You know what? I just lost that track of thought, but because Kathleen just reminded me that I'm supposed to do a station ID break. That's okay.
Yes.
So if you've just tuned in, you're listening to Talk of Our Towns. I'm your host, Donna Quinn. And today in the studio, I'm talking with Caitlin Stecker. She's in private practice here in Astoria. She's a certified IFS therapist, counselor, does many wonderful things in our community. And we're talking about inspiration and support for changing times, and we are living in changing times for sure. One thing that helps me have perspective in my life and makes me look at what am I doing with my time, which I think is something I really want to focus on throughout, you know, the next year of my life, and that is death. Death is an incredible teacher to us, and if we think of the fact that we are all dying, and then we begin to say, well, wait, what is really important to me? What is that which is meaningful and what matters? Because I think the meaning of life is something that everyone wrestles with, and some people have a meditation practice. Mm-hmm. Some people have, I mean, how do you feel about, you know, ritual in daily life for people to help them maintain that ground?
Oh, well, I mean, again, all of this, I mean, the wild thing of this, you know, neuroscience now, where we can see what's happening in the brain and ways that, you know, literally only in the last 15 years that have become available to us. What is so fascinating is that so much of that neuroscience is confirming the ways of being in life from our ancestry, you could say, or from earlier times, that confirms that we are ritual beings, that ritual actually is what allows us, again, to transform and heal places where there's been overwhelm and disconnect. And so it really is helpful. If we do something each day, it actually deepens it, broadens it, fills it, and it becomes more than just that itself.
What about this idea, though, Caitlin, that we now have so many resources, certainly on the internet, that, you know, I could watch 5 TED Talks every night. I could watch 10 spiritual teachers every day. I could absorb so much because there are so many. There's radio. There's Krista Tippett on the radio. There are books. There are films. Yeah. There's, you know, everything is beckoning me, you know, like, oh, learn this, do this. Oh, this is a spiritual teaching. So what about all of that versus, of course, just that being quiet and going within?
Well, again, you know, like almost everything, and everything is balance, isn't it? I mean,
and we're always in and out of balance.
Yes. Yeah. And actually, you know, being out of balance is a great bit of feedback for us. You know, when there are, you know, that's why I don't believe in, well, it's not even just believe, but the idea of trying to get rid of symptoms, you know, that actually symptoms, whatever those things are that are creating, say, some wake up or distress or whatever for us, are places of information that wants to come through into consciousness. And so, you know, being able to really look at how are we in balance or out of balance in our life? Are we taking in so much stimulation that our system literally can't metabolize it all? And the body is in a nervous system arousal that it can't really sustain healthily. And that's one of the things that, again, only we can take care of with ourselves, to know how much watching the news or external input is really able to be a nourishing experience for us rather than an overwhelm. And that is really essential now, because we can be continuously taking in. Again, our nervous systems were designed to process relationally. They're designed to process especially any kind of distress through a relational experience with another being in a body. And in that process, that is a place where things can get healed. But if we're just by ourselves taking in, the body just becomes very agitated and aroused. And then I guess what? We end up having to try to find something to calm or mood alter us We have to find something to take in, often to ingest or do, that numbs us because we can't take it all in.
And I think you mentioned earlier, because we are so living in our intellect, in our heads, and which is fast. We have a very fast pace of life now. That soul is slow.
Yes.
Soul takes time. And I know you brought a poem that perhaps you want to read now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's so many, but I was just thinking, about this idea of relationship. And I guess I just want to acknowledge one of the things that's hard right now is for many of us, we didn't get help with how to create sustaining, alive, vital relationships. We didn't get help because the people who would have helped us didn't get help. And that there's a way in which now sometimes we just don't know how to be with the people we love and who love us that allows us to really be in a vital connection. But I guess what I would say is, we really are being called to develop that part of us. So this poem says, "The distance between us is holy ground. To be traversed, feet bare, hands raised in joyous dance, so that once it's crossed, the tracks of our pilgrimage shine in the darkness and light our coming together in a bright and steady light." To me, it's like an image of the time when we would sing together and dance together, which, of course, this community, I think, has probably more opportunities to dance together and be in that way than many places, but we could use more. And that's such a gift when people find that capacity to bring people together in joyous sound, movement, being able to really celebrate being human together.
Well, Shaking Medicine, Bradford
yes,
Keeney.
Yes, yes, absolutely. Do you remember when we
yes,
were with him?
Yes, and, absolutely.
Yes, and that whole idea that, our bodies want to shake, partly as a way of releasing the extra stimulation, but also just that sense of moving with other bodies that allow for a resonance, for a calming, and for the opportunity to feel ourselves fully alive and safe.
Yes, and I know that we've actually talked about the fact, too, that when people have a bad day or they have seen something very negative, they've ingested something that is a very negative experience, that then finding time to just shake all that off and in the physical world, not just, go to bed with that terrible image in your head, but just shake it off, to actually physically shake and make noise, whatever
terrific.
It takes to,
absolutely.
To do that.
That's right. Yeah. And there is a website where I know it's so many things now that the shamans have been doing for ages and all around the world now you can buy a DVD for it.
Oh, right.
And so there's the trauma releasing exercises, but you also can go online and honestly just see people who are doing these processes where they're shaking. And the body, once it's given permission, uses that opportunity to heal, to release. But it's really helpful because if you haven't seen a body or done it yourself where it is literally taken over by the shaking, then it can look like, oh my God, what's happening? But if you can witness that, and it's great, now we can watch online, to give some permission for your own experience of shaking, just like you're saying.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Yep.
So we could talk for hours, but
yes,
so we only have about 5 minutes left here. So what other things, can those of us who are looking at how do we live a more authentic, a more peaceful, a more connected, soulful life in this crazy, changing, fragmented, and can be very grim and depressing world?
Well, I certainly want to encourage and would not want to leave this time together without saying that one of the major things we can do, besides finding ways to connect with others and whatever works for us, is to have experiences of body healing, whether that's massage or movement, yoga, qigong, all kind of other ways. We just have a new now, Designing Health has the float tank and some of these other healing methods that really can help us connect, because the body lives the unconscious. And many of our physical symptoms are actually expressions of something that is, again, out of balance at the level of soul that's trying to manifest and be known. And if we can have ourselves have experiences where we're honoring and experiencing our bodies more fully, it's a win-win for everybody.
And you also, I think, had something else you wanted to read. I mean, you have so many notes. There are so many wonderful, again, books and websites and all of that. And so, and we will give Caitlin's email address if you're interested in emailing her to find out more about some of the things that she recommends and works with in, you know, inspiring and supportive things during changing times. Yep. So do you want to read that last poem?
Yes. Yeah, I think I would. It's a great one. Called Love After Love. The day will come when, with elation, you will greet yourself arriving at your own door, in your own mirror, and each will smile at the other's welcome and say, sit here, eat. You will love again the stranger who was yourself. Give wine, give bread, give back your heart to itself, to the stranger who has loved you all your life, whom you ignored for another, who knows you by heart. Take down the love letters from the bookshelf, the photographs, the desperate notes. Peel your image from the mirror. Sit. Feast on your life.
That's so beautiful because I feel that a lot of people feel very disconnected from themselves, very lost, they don't, because the world gives us so many messages. I mean, it's not the natural world, the world that we have created, world of news and events, this culture of how to be in the world and what to do. And then we have an internal compass. We have a guidance system inside.
Yes.
However, that gets lost and we give ourselves away. We find ourselves giving ourselves away.
Absolutely. Yeah. Do you know there's 7,000 cultures on the planet?
7,000 cultures? No, I did not know that.
We think we're the big one.
No, we're
big.
Just one. Yes, we're big, but
that's
one
right.
of them.
Yes.
So in this last couple of minutes, Caitlin, any other things you would like the listening audience to know or think about?
Well, I think that right now, as you know, one of the things I'm really excited about is the Enneagram, and it's so accessible. You don't have to buy a book, but if you would want to, there's a great one called the Essential Enneagram, and it's the easiest way to get a sense of your type. And what Enneagram does is it tells us about the strategies we developed as we were growing that are, in a sense, the way that we survived, that now in our adult life can become a box that we at times don't know how to get out of, that keeps working on our behalf, but not consciously. And so it's like you got to know your box to get out of your box. And the Enneagram lets you know the box that you created and appreciate it, but also be able to come beyond it and be more.
I agree. And I think to know ourselves at a deeper level, to take to slow down, to take that time and to look at the Enneagram, to again listen to the birds singing, to beautiful music, you know, so many things can, but we have to be able to slow down and not keep doing.
Yeah, well, that sounds very good.
Thank you so much for being here today, Caitlin. And Caitlin's email address is?
Caitlin, K-A-T-E-L-Y-N, at pacifier, pacifier.com.
Thank you so much. You're so welcome. If you would like more resources on inspiration, support for changing times, you may reach out to Caitlin, and we will continue to have conversations with her from time to time throughout the next many months. Thank you so much for listening to this program, and thank you so much, Kathleen Morgane, for being the engineer this morning, and my gratitude to local talented banjo instructor Michael Bruin for his original theme music for this program. Until next week, find a moment for yourself. Today, take a deep breath. It's a healing thing to do. And then with gratitude, focus on all the things that are going well in your life. There will always be those things that don't go well, but focus on the things that are, and then give yourself a loving and compassionate hug or a pat on the back for being uniquely you, for doing the best you can, and for being here now in this moment, the only moment which exists, the now moment, on the amazing planet we call Earth.